Hello, my name is Clyde Wilson. I have a PhD in chemistry from Stanford and did some research after that at UCSF. My interest is in helping myself and then helping others with getting information from research, ultimately, that helps our quality of life, the physical component of that. And in my path of trying to do that, I've been doing a lot of teaching, primarily at Stanford, nutrition classes and exercise theory classes, I guess you could call it, movement exercise classes, not where you're actually moving like on a Pilates or yoga mat, but sitting in the classroom learning. So that's why I call it the theory part of it. And I've realized over time that it's how these things converge, not just exercise or nutrition separately. And so I've started teaching classes in metabolism that brings all of that together. The research that I did as a postdoc and periodically since then with a good friend of mine, Nariman, and we published about a year and a half ago on this topic, relates strongly to the metabolism in our muscles, which is about half of our metabolism. So my personal research, as well as looking at all of the research from other people throughout the world as it's published, that all comes together into the classes that I teach and a couple of books that I've written, self-published, and a blog and the tweets that I do. You know, all of that is trying to bring some of that research into people's lives to help reduce the confusion of improving our quality of life. And that's kind of a fuzzy topic, quality of life. There's a lot that goes into that. And a part of it is the physical part of our quality of life. And that is really the focus of this podcast, which is how to translate and actually use in your life some of the research on topics relevant to the physical part of our quality of life. I think the biggest question that people get in this area, and this is the biggest question that I've had in this area, is weight loss. With overweight being two-thirds of the U.S. population, half of those obese, and a large percentage of those individuals, and even those that are not overweight, moving towards type 2 diabetes, and that increasing each year, and the prospect down the road being even higher. This has given me new motivation for the work that I do and to do this podcast so that I can reach out with that information beyond the classroom. So what is the point? You're wanting to lose weight, for example, because of its correlations to disease risk. You want to get healthier, and so you're trying to exercise, and you're doing this, you're trying to eat healthier, and you find that it's not helping you as much as you expected. And interventions with people in research studies shows that it generally doesn't. So what might be missing? I've come to believe that it's metabolism. And that's the name of this podcast series, Your New Metabolism. The goal here is to reach out to you so that you don't have to read the research and figure out how to apply it and reduce the confusion of all that stuff you read in the internet and that you hear from one doctor or from your neighbor or from your personal trainer or some random person who tells you what they heard in the newspaper about what we should be doing to lose weight or to get healthier. What does the research really say? Do you really apply that to your life? How do you experiment with it to find the personal way to use it that's different for you from someone else? That's our goal here. And it's really a manifestation of the process that I have gone through personally and that I continue to go through, because it's a process that you just keep working on every day. So a bit about my distant background. I was born and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska. High school years, we moved to Vegas, of all places, which was an interesting cultural shock. And then I joined the Navy. I was in the nuclear program and worked in the power plant on an aircraft carrier, USS Carl Vinson, out of Alameda before they closed that base. When I first arrived at the aircraft carrier and they did my medical check-in, The doctor tells me you're obese and your blood pressure is so high we need you on medications, and your cholesterol is over 300 milligrams per deciliter. And I don't know if you've, you know, who cares what the units are and even, you know, what the exact number is. That's high. So here I am, 20 years old, just got to the ship. You'd think I'm at the peak of my health, and I'm told that I'm, you know, halfway to a serious disease state at that young an age. And I exercised a lot, mainly strength training. And I asked my doctor, well, what should I do? He didn't know. His eyebrows kind of raised in up into what looked like a facial question mark. He says to me, well, maybe a little more cardio and find a good book on nutrition. I said, well, what can I do now? You know, we're out in the ocean. Oh, maybe less fats? See, isn't that just like our calorie counting attitude? It didn't work that well. It helped a little, but not really. And so I've been in this pursuit for a quarter of a century on finding a solution. And I've only found that the calorie counting thing, you know, moving more, eating less, can make it worse, not better. Hunger skyrockets, mood plummets, not losing that much weight. And as I started working with individuals and teams of people, like sports teams, for example, but with individuals, usually not athletes, so a lot of athletes, but not all of them, sometimes sedentary, overweight, diabetic, or other disease, you know, heart disease, I found that other people's experience was very much like my own, that calorie counting by itself, moving more, eating less, didn't always work, often didn't work at all, and sometimes backfired completely and just made people feel worse without losing weight, or maybe 5 pounds, and they're really needing or wanting to lose 50. So my personal motivations, interests, and drive in life mirrors my professional interests and drive in life to help other people. So maybe I've convinced you in this short space of time that calorie counting isn't enough, but you've probably convinced yourself of that already, because a lot of listeners will have already tried to lose weight, even if it's not because you care how you look, because you want to reduce disease risk, live longer, more mobility, you know. So, and then there's the aesthetic piece. So, and you've probably already had thoughts to yourself, there's got to be something more than just this calorie counting. So metabolism, or how fast your engine is revving, you might say, well, that's calorie counting. You're just increasing the rate that you burn calories. But if calorie counting reduces your metabolism, reduces the rate that you're burning calories because your central nervous system, your brain, is perceiving starvation for 1 or more hours per day, like you don't eat breakfast or you work out really hard and then don't eat anything, if it then shuts your metabolism down, wouldn't that make it harder over time to continue losing weight and even to stay healthy and to feel good, where you're giving up this massive quality of life element of just feeling good because of this drive to lose weight to try to get healthier? There's some irony there, obviously, reducing your health because you're trying to get healthier. There has to be a better way. So my own personal struggle with this issue and seeing the struggle of the clients I work with at the nonprofit in Palo Alto, where I see individuals and teams, and seeing the struggle of my students in the classroom, because the homeworks are always applied. You know, the lectures, they're theory. What does the research say? But then the homework is to try to apply that to help students. And so seeing all this struggling, and you can get a sense of that just by how big the diet industry is and the fitness industry, how much people are struggling and working to try to do this. Why is it such hard work to be healthy? Why do I have to be unhealthy in my effort to get healthy? And this light went on in my head about 5 years ago, so like 8 years into teaching. I finally had this idea, maybe it's not how we're eating. Maybe it's not our exercise. Maybe it's how they work together. Maybe it's how we're sleeping and our stress hormone management, you know, these four things, how that all converges. So if you exercise and don't eat to support it, maybe the exercise will hurt you. And that's what we've seen in the science, actually going back decades, but only in the last decade where the research is clear that you can hurt yourself trying to get healthier. And my favorite paper on this, because it actually puts a number on how much we're hurting ourselves, is this recent study, 6-year follow-up on Biggest Loser contestants, the TV show where you follow people for a number of weeks with strict dieting and really hard exercise, and they're competing to see how much weight they can lose, and they have a suppressed metabolism 6 years after being on the show by 500 calories. That's a lot. That's a quarter of an average person's entire metabolism in 24 hours. A suppression of a quarter of your metabolism is as big as a suppression of metabolism from type 2 diabetes. So it's like a metabolic disease, except that it hasn't been called a disease yet, doesn't have a name, and we don't know the mechanism. It just so happens that research that I did in the lab with my friend Narman, who's in the studio now with me, a year and a half ago, and papers that she's published since then in Roger Cook's lab at University of California, San Francisco, looks at a potential mechanism driving this. Just one aspect. There's probably multiple aspects. And so I personally have been looking through a microscope and you know, using different instruments to try to look at the mechanism that is very likely related to this. But bigger picture, because that's not going to help you modify your lifestyle pattern, knowing necessarily what the mechanism is. The bigger picture here is that just cutting calories and going crazy in the gym might actually backfire and make it harder to continue losing weight after that initial 3 to 6 months where you're seeing benefits. Kind of like if you're revving your car up too much and you don't ever put enough fuel in there. At first it's okay, but eventually the car really starts to struggle, and so would your body. So my whole shift to metabolism really reins in sleep quality, sleep depth, because that's what allows you to recover from your exercise. Otherwise, your exercise might actually hurt you. And how nutrition coordinates with your exercise. Now, you might not be exercising at all. You're just dieting. That can also make your body perceive a starved state where it basically goes into this hibernation mode that makes it practically impossible to continue losing weight. So is it possible to make your body perceive a bounty, not starvation, while you're still giving it a bit of starvation to drive a drop in body fat? That is the goal of this podcast. Dissect the components of metabolism, exercise, movement, nutrition, stress hormone management, sleep quality, and bring them subsequently back together on how they coordinate. So you want to be efficient with each of these main physical parts of quality of life and be mindful of how they work together so that all of your efforts lead to benefits as opposed to feeling worse and even potentially reducing your health. What a horrible irony that trying to improve your health could end up reducing it. So that is the topic of the podcast. Your metabolism, or you might think of it as your new metabolism. It's a metabolism you could have always had, but maybe you're not achieving it, making your health goals practically impossible to achieve. Breaking metabolism down into its main components and then showing how they work together with ideas on how to experimentally discover how to optimize the process for you in ways that are completely different from everybody else around you. So how do you go through that natural experimental process from day to day to find what works best for you? Because keep in mind, all this research that helps us figure this out is with other people. It's unlikely that you were part of a research project, and even if you were, there's going to be a couple hundred other people in that project, and the results aren't exactly for you. So you have to figure out what works for you, starting from the research. Because if you ignore the research, you don't even know where to start. You might end up on some crazy diet or some crazy fitness thing, or using some weird sleep aid, or you know that. And none of that is ultimately relevant to your metabolism could actually reduce your metabolism. So we start with what we know or think we know. There's a complicated topic in itself, you know, and that's the scientific side. But then we have to bridge that over into the real world, and then you narrow that down into your personal world. So it's really three steps. And we always want to check back with the science to stay grounded with what we're saying. Because if we just build opinion on opinion and opinion, in the end, who knows where we're going to end up. So we keep grounded by constantly rechecking what we're saying with the research, knowing that the research actually doesn't tell us, particularly as an individual, what to do in our lives from one day to the next. So in closing, between now and the next podcast, I'd like for you to think about what your goals are, your authentic goals, not goals just from your doctor or your spouse or, you know, friends telling you what you should or shouldn't want. What do you really want? And what have you tried in the past to achieve that? I'm referring to the physical component of quality of life now. What worked, what didn't work, and how long did it work? And why did it fail? Was it because it was too hard? It didn't really match your personality? It didn't include the foods you like? I mean, there's a lot of reasons that things fail. If they don't match your personality, if they're not easy, it's another way of saying that, or an oversimplistic way of saying not matching your personality, then it's not right for you. So you have to find a program, a lifestyle program, that really fits who you are. That is what I want you to think about between now and the next podcast. That should be the filters that you're using to listen to the information that we're going to be going through. It needs to apply directly to your life. Everything that comes out of my mouth and anyone else that I'm talking to on the podcast, you should be hearing through the filters of your life. So develop those filters. What are your goals? What has and has not worked? And why were you not able to continue that? And how to modify your past positive experiences with the new information that's going to be coming in to develop that new metabolism that your body is capable of doing, that you can finally realize. So that's your soft kind of assignment, is to think about where you are and where you want to be. So I look forward to talking to you again next time on Your New Metabolism. So until then, signing off, this is Dr. Clyde. Bye-bye.